So what you're establishing is that there are training routines that you go through, or procedures, policies that you follow to teach you how to lie under oath.
Right.
And this is commonly done.
In the guidance office, yes. Not among normal friends' houses, no.
You talk about casing and burglary and criminal activities. Were you taught how to do this? I know that you said that you were a casino person, that you were well-educated, and now looking back, you never would have thought you had done that. Without the policies that were written down, would you have committed the criminal acts or participated in them that you say you have?
That's a very good question, really good. Absolutely not. I'm not going to... I grew up in New York City. I was a pool player. I'm a guy of the streets, you know, which is why they're interested in me. I was a casino executive. I'm not a virgin. If Chuck Reese or some guidance office guy wanted to do some things on his own, there's no way I would do it. This came from Hubbard, written, shown to me. At that time, I was popular. I thought it was technology to destroy the people and let Scientology clear the planet.
How did you learn to case a building or burglarize them?
Well, Chuck Reese told me to go down there. I was the first to walk around the place and look for anybody that was suspicious or thing. I came back to see him. Then I was asked to go into the Better Business Bureau and ask them for... I forget about something else, and I was to use that, and it's very clever, because they would think of the thing I was asking for, like, let's say, popcorn company. Ask lots of questions about the popcorn company, and then just gradually say, oh yeah, I have a friend of mine in Scientology, do you know anything about that? And to see what he said. Then while I was there, I was to memorize the place, where the files were and stuff, and bring that back to me.
So you were told by a superior of this group, Scientology, how to commit criminal acts, place a joint, and then participate in it.
Right.
Were you aware at any time that there was a policy or is a policy that tells you how to burglarize?
No, I mean, I'm sure there is. I did not myself see it.
Okay, on to the auditing. You said that you came in and being a casino executive, you understand risk considerations, you know, getting something back for your money. Now, you said you spent $35,000 to $40,000 in this organization, which is your choice. But were you given any guarantees? There must have been some consideration. Did they tell you that specifically auditing was scientific? Auditing would cure your back ailments, auditing would cure Ed Walter's stomach ailments. Did they say that, and based on that, did you give them money?
Absolutely. Not only did they tell me that it would do all that, I was then trained to do that to others.
What were you trained to do?
A registrar, a person who signs people up for auditing, is trained to find out their illnesses, ailments, it's called their ruin. Ruin meaning what they think is ruining them. And then we are told to tell them we can handle that. We have the technology to do so.
So I come in and I'm having migraine headaches. What do you do? I have $3,000.
I would say questions like you say, Mr. Carvin, so you have migraine headaches. Hurts your job? Yes. Or is it making you worse in life? Yeah. Would you say it's making you more able or less able? Or less able. In other words, is this the thing that's stopping you from being all the things you want to be? Yes. And if you did not have migraine headaches, would you be a better, stronger, more able person? And the person say yes. Well, we have the technology to handle that. And even goes further than that. I would, by listening to you, find out if you were medically inclined and move into Dianetics. If you wanted to become spiritually inclined or do super tricks like walk on the water and all that stuff, then I would move you into Scientology.
What you're telling me then, and I don't want to paraphrase you, but you just told me that if I had a large sum of money, you would guarantee me as a policy and they taught you to do this, you would guarantee me that my ills would be cured?
Absolutely. The exact word is handled.
And if I was medical of the mind, you would tell me that it was a technology or something based on scientific proof.
Right.
If I was religious in nature, you would tell me anything that I want to hear. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
And you did this.
Right.
And you did it as
many
one
many
of the
times. I mean, it's one of the reasons I'm here. I personally have brought hundreds into Scientology. I mean, I know I'm not very proud of what I did. Some of them are still in and not allowed to talk to me. If they see me, they have to walk down the other street because they'll be an enemy, etc.
You keep talking about technology. What were you told when you entered Scientology? What is auditing?
I was told that auditing was the scientific practice that Hubbard had devised as a scientist and an engineer and a nuclear physicist. He had found two causes of illness, and he could scientifically explain it, and by two courses I would learn it. The scientific explanation and theories concerning communication and the mind and the source of all aberration that's in the mind, and that by putting my hands by putting myself in the hands of an auditor, a Scientologist, he would ask me questions that would elicit answers from me. And this would scientifically handle my illnesses, and I would attain eventually clear.
So since you were technically oriented, they told you it was scientific?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't have.
And you gave $30,000 to $40,000 based on this claim?
Yes.
Now, I don't understand it. Why did you believe it? Why did you believe Mr. Hubbard's auditing or Scientology auditing would cure your ills? You said they guaranteed
a release, sir.
No, I'm talking about a guaranteed contract. He's saying auditing guaranteed. He paid money for it.
What did you rely on?
What did
you rely on?
To take the next course, and what did you rely on to give?
I relied
$40,000.
I relied on what they told me, that L. Ron Hubbard was a nuclear physicist, an engineer, a scientist, a doctor of philosophy, who had studied extensively the mind and the source of aberration and illness, and that if I learned this technology and practiced it, I would become clear, free of all illness, etc. And if I took the courses to train how to do this, I could do this to others. And I did it.
So they represented to you, and the reason you paid is because they claimed that someone had devised this with research, that had numerous philosophical and scientific degrees.
Right.
Would you have paid $40,000 if this wasn't the case?
Absolutely not.
Excuse me, I'd like to get Mr. Berthio to get a chance to speak too, because we are running out of time, and I want to give everyone equal time, and so, Mr. Berthio, if you don't mind yielding.
Just one more question. As a member of the commission, you said that they would try to come between us. So I spread rumors so that perhaps I would be upset at Mrs. Garvey. They would find what she wants to hear, or that Mr. Hatch would become upset at me.
Dead aging operations, yes.
Mm-hmm. Is this done throughout?
Yes.
Scientology?
Yes, in all guidance office activities, yeah.
Okay, go ahead, Mr.
Garvey. Mr. Rollers, if I understand your testimony thus far, you've admitted or stated that you've lied, cheated, stolen, just about committed every crime.
Well, I didn't go that far.
Sort of murder. We appreciate you coming here today, but the question that goes through my mind is, why could we now take what you're telling us as being the truth?
It's a good question. All I can tell you is what I know to be true.
That's good.
And I know that it's very unbelievable. I feel like the guy, if one of Jones's people had spoke up, he would have looked as much as like a fool as I am. I mean, only later did you find out he was homosexual, criminal, and all this stuff. But I'm in the same boat. And luckily, Scientologists are leaving now. The fear of the Guardian's office is starting to drop. And more are going to speak up.
A couple of basic questions, but they encompass quite a bit of territory. And one is, you make reference to certain situations, but can you be more specific as to time and place? You make reference to a legislator, you make reference to some lady with planet. I guess what I'm saying as an adversary, I could look at that and say, well, you could come in here and bring up any story you wanted to and tell us that.
Sure.
What do we have, or what can we look at, or who else can we call into this hearing to substantiate what you're telling us?
Well, I think you're going to hear some people. The documents that are available that will verify everything I'm saying. There are others that will verify what I'm saying, and then you judge for yourselves.
Now, I may just interject. What may be helpful is a continuous series of questions about a specific event in a specific time or place, and a particular act. That may be very helpful.
Okay, well, I'm going to come to that now. There's one other thing that I'm not too sure about. You keep talking about policy. And like any corporate policy, how does one know that it's adhered to or condoned all the way up and down the line? That some zealot person somewhere down the line just doesn't say, gee, I'm going to make a name for myself in Scientology and I'm going to do this, and they do go off half cock. And the Scientologists did not, in fact, condone it.
Well, I'm familiar with the top officials of the church. I know some of the 11 that have been indicted and convicted. They're the ones intimately involved in this, and the people that I was involved took orders from them. And these people, like Bruce Raymond, worked directly for L. Ron Hubbard. I mean, how high do you... I mean, Scientology would like to say that individuals did this on their own. But I can tell you, you are taught quickly. You do not do anything, anything, unless you see it in writing by L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay, I'm going to bring it to counsel's point there and ask you to give me a specific walk through that, but I have another question here. Mr. Carlebank did an excellent job in asking about your signing up for these courses and what they represented to you. When you signed up for them, was there any disclaimer or anything like that? Did you sign any waivers or anything along that line? Or did they just said, we're going to cure your illness, bam.
Well, it's not like that. It's more like I did with Mr. Carlebank. You find out what's wrong with you, and you say, yes, we can handle that. We have the technology to totally handle that.
But you don't sign any waivers against Scientology.
That all depends what year. See, Scientology put that policy related to the latest thing that the country investigates. In the early days, no. Then when the government started looking at the nonprofit status, they changed the word from payment to donation, because donation sounded more like a church. Then in the later years, they started just exactly that thing. The Business Bureau and government and city officials wanted to know. People were complaining that they spent thousands and thousands and never got any air and couldn't get their money back. So now you have to sign a thing saying that, I know it sounds weird, that you're getting auditing, but Scientology has nothing to do with it. I know this sounds great. And that when you sign your story at the end, you actually sign a thing that L. Ron Hubbard has nothing to do with what you did, and that Scientology is not held in any way responsible for whatever occurred. But you were told to do this, and if you don't do it, you don't go to your next step.
Along this line, the books and the courses that you're talking about, do you know firsthand whether they are being taught here in Clearwater and the books can be purchased here in Clearwater?
All the books can be purchased here in Clearwater. All of the policy is here in Clearwater. And the highest GO covert activity and policy is here in Clearwater. Although, I would bet it's very safe it's not where I think you would find it. They're not dumb.
Coming back to one thing, if we could. Could you walk us through, and this is a reason for asking counsel earlier whether you had any immunity on this, a particular criminal event that you may have been involved in personally and you knew firsthand knowledge of?
All right. All right, latest thought, meaning, you know, trouble going on in the Guardian's office, was that the mental health people in Las Vegas were meeting, talking about doing something about Scientology.
This would be during what year? Can you give us some...
Oh, this was, I would say, in 1972. Chuck Reese, from his folders, he has folders on most of the city officials and the public people. He had been following these people, and he knew that they met. It was first public, and then they were going to hold closed conferences at Rose de Lima Hospital in Henderson, Nevada, which is about 30 miles outside of Las Vegas. It's just, you know, an hour's drive. Chuck Reese, through orders from Los Angeles Guardian's office, was told to go there and to bug those meetings and get all the evidence that they could.
Excuse me, but you knew this firsthand.
He told them. He said, oh, I'll tell you exactly how it is. He called me in, sat down, and said, Eddie, listen, I've got a new ops. Ops means operations. New ops from L.A. They're holding, now they're going to hold closed meetings, these suppressors. And they're going to meet at the Rose de Lima Hospital, which is a hospital run by the nuns in Henderson. They're going to hold their meetings there, closed meetings. And we've got to go up and case the place and plant some bugs to listen on our meetings. And so I went with him to Rose de Lima Hospital two or three days before this. We had a whole plan of going in and pretending to be sick, just to, you know, to get in the hospital. Turned out we didn't need any of it. You walk right through the place. It was on the ground floor. If I remember, you walk in, you walk to the right all the way down. It was a large meeting office with a large table in it with a whole bunch of chairs around it. And Chuck Reese planted a tape recording device. In those days, you know, tape recordings, even small ones, were very big, with tape and stuff right under the table. I left with him. We went back to Las Vegas. I told my wife about it, you know, and said things are getting hairy again. Hairy meaning is a new flat, and the geotech is going in, and then I can't leave the casino and end up in something worse than the casino, but I want to do whatever it is for Scientology. We talked it over, and we thought that was to help them in any way, but not get directly involved. So from that day, I didn't go back with him again, but I was in the office many times when he was typing up all the minutes or the conversations of the meeting of all the commissioners and city officials. And they would laugh about it, you know, because they take what you guys say as very funny, you know. And
sometimes it is.
Yeah. And they sent all this to Las Vegas Guardian's office, the United States Guardian's office in Los Angeles.
One other thing that Mr. Calabank hit on, do you have any first-hand knowledge of somebody I would call it kidnapping or holding or retaining somebody against their will? By first-hand, that you knew the person, you were there, you saw it happen, it wasn't that somebody told you it happened.
Yeah. Oh, in ethics, I've been personally involved in probably 14 to 15 of them were some local PC online, meaning a person getting ordering, brand new. He's in the early stage of, like, he's not totally brainwashed, but he's still into wanting to handle whatever illness he has. They haven't made him a soldier of Hubbard yet. He's having trouble with his family, and ethics is having trouble with him. They come to me because I'm a high technical person to use mental tech on him to sort of, and ethics would hold him in a room, and they hold him there, do not let him out of the building for sometimes hours, sometimes days. They hold him there until he's handleable, meaning he is quieted down, subdued, given some counseling, designed to do, I've done it myself, to do two things. One, to make him feel bad and give up his, why he is attacking the organization. That's called security checking. Two is to find out who he's been talking to, and doing that thing, you find out who his parents have been talking to, and what lawyer they probably were going to go, and that evidence goes directly to the guardian's office to be handled, as I spoke of. I participated in quite a few of them.
You know, first hand, where any of this has ever happened in Clearwater?
Well, not being here at Clearwater, I can't say that. I've spoken to people who have been to Clearwater who have spent $80,000, $90,000, $100,000, and still sick, still ill, and defrauded. But not being here, you know, I never did services at Clearwater.
I don't mean to sound critical, but you sound like a man that's what I used to call streetwise. And if you are streetwise, in your own mind, you did not think you were committing a crime when you were doing all these things?
It's a good question. Why would Eddie Walters do that if I'm so? One, I was in the casinos all my life. I started out in the pool rooms, but I went to school and that. You know, so I was like, would you go streetwise? I was at that time in my life looking for a better way of life. I wanted a more moral way of life. Working in casinos, to be frank with you, is not the most moral thing you can do. It's not as bad as you might read, you know, but it's not the most fulfilling thing you do. I was just right at that time in my life, and I was looking for a better way of life. I wanted to sort of, how could I help my fellow man? At the same time, I wanted to be safe. So I was just right at the time. And I was told Hubbard had the technology to help his fellow man. And I'll tell you, quite frankly, I was glad to do it. I'll tell you, the original talks you get would appeal to your son if you had one or daughter. They don't get the bad people, I'm telling you. They get the good people. These kids on staff are not gorillas. That's the GO. The average kid on staff is working over at Fort Harrison 14 hours a day for nothing. He's a hardworking young man trying to help his fellow man.
If you had to find yourself in, let's use a corporate organization, using Mr. Hubbard as the president of that organization, where would you put yourself in that chain of command?
In the chain of command, I would be in the, if it was a business organization, I would be in the product division, meaning having to do with dispensing of the sales of the product. And I would be probably like a chief technician of that. I would probably be director of production, if you were still in a business organization.
So you would have knowledge as to their, let's call it marketing and the way they paid the bills?
That's right.
Now, we've got a lot of testimony about dollars here. How did these young people pay the bills? Was there promissory notes, security agreements, or anything like that ever signed?
On staff or public?
No,
I'll explain both.
Explain the freeloader's debt.
A freeloader's debt?
And I think that's what he's getting at.
A staff member comes in, starts out like I did. They tried to get me on staff many times, officially on staff, but because I was made an outside intelligence agent, I didn't go on staff. You see that? So, a person will go on staff, and they say, you realize you don't have to pay to get your order. You can become one of Ron's people, and we will give you all this. Well, man, for a young kid who doesn't have a job, doesn't have any money, it sounds very good. He slowly gets in, and the earning he gets is all invoiced to him. Meaning, every time he goes gets a session from somebody like me, he is charged that at the highest rate there are, and he's charged fully. And this keeps adding up. He is told that if he ever leaves, he has to pay all this. In fact, he has to pay this plus penalties That's just financial. That's nothing to do with fair game or all 245 and all that. Just financially, he is told that he is a freeloader's debt, meaning you came in here and freeloaded off of us. We treated you nicely. All you did was work 14 hours a day, and now you want to leave? Well, we're going to charge you for all of that. They're even charging for him when he washed the floor. I mean, they will hit him with the biggest bill he can get. It's technically done to make sure that he does not go back into society. So he gets a freeloader's debt. And I know many, many people. I know a person in Las Vegas who left out. They handled him technically, you know, made him feel bad and repent. He paid them close to $30,000 just to get back in. And this sounds, and there are people all over the United States, especially people who have been to Clearwater, who are now all over the United States paying Fort Harrison money. So if they pay all the freeloaders' debt, they might be allowed to come back here.
Let's go to that point a minute. If I understand you correctly, there have been people that have been in Clearwater operating under this freeloaders' debt. Are you personally aware of these people?
Yes, I know some.
And you do know that they worked here under these conditions?
Oh, yeah.
And that they're owed the Scientologists of this money?
Yeah.
You talked to them on
Yes. I believe, I don't know everything that's happening here, I believe you might even meet one or two. I'm not telling you.
What did you say?
I know what I'm saying to you is, you know, it's hard to believe, but I just happen to be the lead-off witness, and I know it sounds a little nutty.
Well, quickly, just, I don't know,
one last question.
If I'm lying, I'll tell you this, Mr. Burfield, if I'm lying, you'll know in the last 4 days.
So a couple of other names I have down here, a Cooper, a Don Cooper, and a Broderick.
What, yeah.
How do they fit into all of you?
Nice people that you got here in Clearwater. I shouldn't say that. That's a very good example of how that works. I'm in the church, right? I go to the FBI. A lot of Scientologists around me because I was looked up to and respected. Most of the OTs and Scientologists around me all immediately left too. Because we were all talking, we knew this thing was getting psychotic. Don Cooper would come around us every day and, you know, help us in any way he could, you know, I mean, this is terrible. Although I wondered why he didn't want to go to the FBI's office, but we thought, he said he was scared. And he was with us day and night. He would come into my home, and we would talk and laugh, because as silly as it sounds, you know, I feel like that now. When we first came out, he was tired. If we didn't laugh, we would cry. I mean, it's that type of thing. He would laugh at us. So I just went along, you know. Then finally, we got hold of some lawyers, Mr. Flynn here. And we felt that eventually this will come to the public when it needs to be done. Now, what exactly happened to Cooper? Oh! So two people also fed up with things being done against me. See, while I'm outside now, the technology, the operations are starting against me. Follow me. Harass me. One of the girls leaves the guardian's office because she knew where he was just to be a decent guy. He may not agree with everything we're doing, but he's a decent guy. They paint me as Zeno, and I'm the implanter, and I'm evil, and I'm criminal, and I'm no good, and I'm out to destroy religions, and I'm connected to the FBI and Interpol, you know, all this nonsense. And they're asking her to do things that she didn't feel good about. She left, came to me, and you know what she told me? Eddie, you got plans on me. I said, no, listen, I got my friends, and I'll say anything I want to my friends is Eddie. Hey, this guy comes back with stories and weird pieces, and he described them to him. It was Don Cooper. We have since found out, well, I'll give you an example. I just had a deposition the lawyers, they said they were suing me. They do depositions, which really is to find out what I know. They do depositions. Their lawyer turns up to have stuff that Don Cooper has stolen from my home. You know? I mean, they turned him into, from a Scientologist, into an intelligence agent. And he was a nice guy. I mean, we were with him every day. He is right now in Clearwater receiving, I believe, further training. We know a person in Las Vegas that talked to him a few months ago.
About Bill Broderick, since you're on that.
All right. And a girl, Tanya Burton, her name is. She used to be an aide to Ron Hubbard, dress him, take care of him. She left, and obviously can tell the inside story on Hubbard. She was, again, harassed, you know, all the things I went through. When this Biden's office girl left, should I tell him the name?
She'll be justified. Her name is Janie Peters.
When she left, she told us the operations against me and against Tanya Burton. And we said, but Tanya Burton has a lawsuit. I mean, it's Eddie, they're planning a person in her apartment. They have a person next to her. They brought in from Phoenix. They have a guy who's with her all the time. In fact, he's with you guys. I said, who is it? Bill Broderick. And she's right. Bill Broderick used to come around. His job was to get everything they could on Tanya Burton, create dead aging, like, tell me that Tanya Burton didn't like me, or I didn't, you know, start all this stuff. I believe he was in Clearwater at the moment. I saw his name in a publication where he just completed a course here, so he's receiving further training to go out.
I ask questions all over some. If I understand your testimony correctly, then the courses that are being presented in Clearwater now, in your estimation, there's misrepresentation in the presenting of those courses. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And then there's fraud and deceit the further you get into these courses. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to break in a minute, and may your witness return at 2, just in case we'd like to ask him any more questions.
He'll be available as long as we
can. All right. I just have one quickie. I've heard that they've changed their spots. They're no longer doing what they did do. That now they're good guys and they denounce or renounce the leaders that have been convicted. To your knowledge, is that true? Have they changed their spots and end value? Are they now a different organization they were in 1979?
No, they're not different. The evidence is Don Cooper, the things he's been doing to me just recently. They will have a PR thing put out by Adi Marin and Heber Jens that will put a new face on it. But I guarantee you, covert operations will in fact increase.
Decrease or increase?
Increase.
Increase.
When I went to the FBI, the normal person, like you, might say, well, I guess they won't bother you now. That's when Cooper was put on me. It increases. In fact, the increased surveillance they're asking of me will start even more now.
Mr. Schumacher, there's one quick question, then we'll take a break.
Mr. Walters, if I might ask, during the break, if you would have a chance, are you familiar with Introduction to Scientology Ethics book?
I've studied it thoroughly.
If you might look at this relating to the high crimes section on purpose.